It bothered Nina that Romualda looked her same age, like they might have been classmates in grade school, and now had come to be reunited every Friday morning when Romualda walked across the bridge to clean the house. 16 years younger was not nothing, yet Romualda hobbled like an old mule with a bad leg that never healed. Bunions, a bone spur, a bad hip. Only God knew. The woman refused to see a real doctor. Terca that the salve the curandera had prepared for her needed time to do its healing. Maybe leaving it on more than just overnight. Nina wondered who actually looked her true age, she or her maid. If she had been spared only by being born on this side of the river, if she shouldn't go back to coloring her hair like she did when she had more time before she moved back home to take care of her mother. When the gray showed up, she convinced herself she looked more her age, but then the gray began turning white and she didn't know what age she was anymore, and if it mattered, as little as she left the house these days. But how much older would the Matamoros Nina look? Would her feet be as calloused and scaly, as misshapen with bunions from walking 6 days a week for however long to the bridge to wait in line with the rest of the men and women coming to this side to work? How many shades darker? How much more haggard and spent from walking home on the other side of the river, where you never know when los mañosos, as Romualda calls the narcos, might decide today is a good day to start killing one another in the streets. 2 months earlier, before Nina's nephew Eduardo asked her to take care of her godson Orly, Romualda had asked for her own favor. She had arrived like every other Friday and set down her purse, removed her flats, and put the first load of laundry to wash. She came back to the kitchen when she was called over a few minutes later. Maybe this was the only house she cleaned where she was invited to sit and have coffee. Maybe she had coffee everywhere she went and never mentioned it out of modesty. It was a small gesture to pass the time, to treat her like a person and not some criada, as Nina's mother sometimes called her. They paid her the standard $40 to do the laundry and clean the house. Even on a fixed income, Nina always set aside enough money for this expense. It was her only break from working around the house during the week. If Romualda had extra time, she prepared the lunch and made tortillas so she could fill the rest of her workday. When she did finally sit, it was close to the edge of the seat cushion and avoiding much eye contact, instead staring into the black, unsweetened coffee before her. Other than Nina's brother Beto occasionally coming to visit and the doctors and nurses they saw when she took her mother to her appointments, Romualda was one of the few contacts Nina had with the outside world. Adelita Morales, from down the street, had died 2 years earlier and left her husband behind, who by that point was already going blind from the diabetes and now stayed indoors, afraid to venture even to his front gate. Most of her friends from work had moved on with their lives. Nina had tried to meet them for coffee or lunch, but this only happened on Fridays, the one day a week she could stray from the house knowing that Romualda was there to keep an eye on her mother. Romualda wasn't much of a talker, but Nina was just happy to see someone else's face, to see her smile or grimace when she shared some small detail about the last 7 days of being here with her mother. And perhaps this is how it would have continued if Nina hadn't been asking Romualda so many questions, inquiring about her husband and the younger daughter, and then the older one and her husband and their baby, instead of letting the woman sit and enjoy her coffee. At first, Romualda had claimed no. Everything was perfectly fine with her family, as always. Gracias a Dios. Then a moment later, the story changed. She confessed that in truth she had a small favor to ask.